A reading from Zechariah. I looked up and saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I asked, "Where are you going?" He answered me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." Then the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him and said to him, "Run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited like villages without walls because of the multitude of people and animals in it. For I will be a wall of fire all around it, says the Lord, and I will be with it. I will be the glory within it. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, escape to Zion, you that live with daughter Babylon. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me, regarding the nations that plundered you. Truly, one who touches you touches the apple of my eye. See now, I am going to raise my hand against them, and they shall become plunder for their own slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for lo, I will come and dwell in your midst, said the Lord. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord on that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all people, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. This is the word of the Lord.
Happy New Year, friends. It is wonderful to come together to worship in this new year. And we come together today in the midst of a lot of continuing uncertainty over the pandemic, with a sharp surge in the COVID cases all around us, driven by the new variant of the virus. In fact, my family has been isolating this weekend after picking up the virus from our family Christmas gathering. So since we have been pretty cautious about the virus throughout the pandemic, it is a little disappointing to be sick right now. But we are grateful that so far, all the symptoms seem pretty mild. But as I sit here today, I am very aware of my need for Jesus to anchor me against the craziness of the pandemic, and also against my own fears and anxiety. And maybe some of you can resonate with that feeling today. It seems every time we get used to a new normal, whatever that might mean, something else comes about to shake us around, make us feel fearful and off kilter. So this is the condition of our world and our hearts as we welcome this new year. So in the midst of this uncertain season, I would like to invite us to look at Zechariah chapter 2 to receive the hope and encouragement we need to have a good fight against the challenges and fears we are faced with this year. So Prophet Zechariah was most likely born in Babylon during the exiled years and returned to Jerusalem with his family as a young man, with the first group of Israelites who were allowed to return. His name, Zechariah, means God remembers. So let's talk about that. God remembers. That sounds like a really good name, right? Appropriately, his book is full of the hope that God will remember his people and his promises to his people. And his book is also known as the most messianic book of the minor prophets, because he speaks of Jesus's first coming as well as the second coming. Kim, can you put on the first slide for us? Thank you. So in the second chapter of Zechariah, we see an angelic being with a measuring line surveying Jerusalem and measuring the width and the length of the city. After measuring the city, the angel declares that Jerusalem shall be like villages without walls because of the multitude of people and animals in it, and that the Lord will be a wall of fire all around it, and that the Lord will be the glory with it. Now, let's pull back a little from the text and look at the context of this time period. Prophet Zechariah was speaking to a small ragtag group of dispirited returned exiles who probably felt very tired, discouraged, overwhelmed, and fearful of their future. And to this small, humble group, God is giving a glorious vision through Zechariah and saying, hey, after measuring the city, I've decided it is not big enough to house all of the people, animals, and prosperity I plan to shower upon you. So I guess you have to be a city without walls, because your walls cannot contain the overflowing goodness and provisions I'm about to bring to you. And if you're concerned about not having walls, hey, don't worry about that either. I plan to be in residence with you. I will be the wall of fire, protecting you and guarding you. And I'll be the glory within your city, becoming the heart of your city. And how do you think those disheartened Israelites received this grand vision? Well, some may have said, are you kidding me? Look around you. Do you see any big animals? Do you see that many people? Do you see any wall of fire anywhere? But I guess some may have said, actually, I'm really tired being hopeless and fearful, and I want this vision for me. I want to see a city so populated and enriched that walls cannot contain all of the blessings. Hey, sign me up. What can I do to be part of this vision? Similarly, I believe Zechariah's vision is a blessing God desires to give to our church without walls. And next slide, please, Kim. God is giving us the same glorious and maybe a little overwhelming vision again. Church without walls. You shall be a true church without walls, brimming with a multitude of people and rich blessings. And I, the Lord, will be a wall of fire protecting you and the glory within transforming you. Wow, what a vision. I want this vision for us and for our church. And how about you? What can we do to embrace that vision together? Let's look at the next slide. The key to embrace this vision of the Lord is scattered throughout Zechariah 1 and 2. The Lord says, return to me and I'll return to you. He also beckons his people up, up, flee from the land of the north, up, escape to Zion. So the call given to us is to return to him. And his steadfast promise given to us is that he will come and dwell with us in our midst. I think that sounds great. But what does that actually mean? It was more straightforward spoken to the Israelite exiles of Zechariah's time. But what does it mean for you and for me to return to the Lord? So I encourage each of us to spend some time this week to think about that question. How can I return to the Lord more fully this year? And please grab at least one friend this week to share your answer to that question. And that same question is also relevant for our church. How can Church Without Walls return to the Lord more fully this year? Can we get that last slide? We believe that returning to the Lord fully means going back to the basics and growing deeper into the basics of what we believe to be true and foundational in our faith. So first, we believe that community life is essential for the growth of every believer. So we would like to rebuild our community and our sense of togetherness stronger in this season. So to that end, would you like to consider to pick a life group or spiritual direction group to join and strengthen your spiritual friendships? No matter how long and in what variations this pandemic may prolong, we need to find a place of spiritual connection with God and with one another during this season. If the analogy of extended family and nuclear family is helpful, think of CWOW as our extended family and your life group or spiritual direction group as nuclear family. Well, actually, in our breakout group, we talk about that sometimes family is a little bit complicated. So I'm talking about family in that idealized way. Maybe we can make it better in our spiritual family. So the folks in your life group will get to know you and love you and support you through your ups and your downs. And if you're too tired to show up, they'll notice and reach out to you and hopefully ask you how you're doing. We can build up our community and our spiritual family stronger by intentionally choosing to lean in and choosing to be known. So we want to make sure everyone who calls CWOW as their spiritual home to have a safe and loving space where they can share what occupies their hearts and minds. And they will be supported and prayed for together. So we'll share more details about our life group options next week. But we hope to create a variety of weekday and weekend groups, daytime and evening groups, and in-person and virtual groups to fit your personal needs and circumstances. And if any of these groups do not fit you or any of these groups does not work for you, please reach out to me and let's figure out how to get connected together in a renewed way. In addition to rebuilding our community, we would like to restart our conversations about discipleship and mission. I wonder if the angelic being of Zechariah 2 shows up with his measuring line to survey our spiritual state. What would be the resulting assessment? Have the boundary lines of your spiritual health and vibrancy expanded or shrunken down or stalled indefinitely during this pandemic? Whatever your spiritual wellness assessment may be, we want to be a faith community that intentionally talks about that and support each person's individual and corporate discipleship. So let's talk about embodied faith for each of us and what that means in our discipleship. We all know that our faith is not just in our hearts or in our heads, that our faith is not just about our beliefs, our Christian ethics or theology. It is also about how we live out our faith in our daily life, how we practice what we believe in our daily struggles and in our daily practical wrestlings. So I think my faith should be in the emails I sent to my coworkers. Rochelle and Erwin, I'm looking at you. And in the emails I sent to my friends, and also in the fights I have with my children, my spouse, my extended family, and also in the interactions I have with strangers on the streets of Berkeley. As much as in my Giving Week donations and in my services to my church community. Let us talk with one another this year how to infuse the presence of Jesus into every practical and impractical and every big and small aspect of our lives. And we want to also wrestle together how to build a healthy and intentional rhythm of rest into our spiritual journey with Jesus, especially in this interminable pandemic. And let's not make our faith something vague or theoretical. We can help one another learn how to bring our faith into our everyday lives. That's why we will endeavor to talk about as a church family this year. So starting next Sunday for 2 months, we'll enter into a sermon series on the encounters with Jesus from the book of Mark, highlighting the stories of hope. Our preaching team, who will be bringing these messages of hope, will share from the scriptures, but also from their own testimonies and experiences on how Jesus gives them hope and how Jesus helps them address their fears and their challenges. We hope our regular life group times will complement our sermon series, creating a space for all of us to share our own stories and experiences. And during the coming Lenten season, we hope to focus on discerning and creating a rule of life for each of us individually and as a church community. I read recently that a rule of life is a schedule and a set of regular practices that help us create space in our busy life to be with Jesus and to become like Jesus and to do what Jesus did. And we'll work side by side to create a concrete rule of life that works for each one here. A couple of months ago, my youngest kiddo came to me and asked, "Hey, Mama, are you going to be still alive when I'm 15? My youngest child is only 10 right now, so I told him that I don't plan to die anytime soon and hope to live to see well beyond the 15th year of his life with God's help. But I asked him, "Hey, why do you ask?" He said, "Well, aren't you 60 years old or something like that?" Well, I was a little speechless for a while. Granted, I may be the oldest mom among the moms of his friends, but I'm not that old. But setting aside my bruised ego, it is true that, like some of you, I probably have lived more days up until now than the days I'll live from this day forward. And with every passing year, I feel more convicted that I don't want to sleepwalk through my life. Do you ever feel that you're sleepwalking through your life? I especially felt that way when my children were very young. There were so many demands in my life, but I did not get to choose much of what was required of me during those seasons. If you are in that season, God bless you. And please know that God is with you in that season too. But in my middle-aged self right now, I think a lot about how to make my today and my tomorrow more purposeful and meaningful than yesterday. When I think about meaning and purpose, I'm not talking about anything big. I want to live each day connecting with Jesus and embodying his presence a little more in what I do each day. I want to be a purposeful mother, sister, daughter, wife, friend, and pastor each day in my interactions with all of you guys and with my family. And I would like to look to you, my spiritual family and community, to inspire me to be more like Jesus in all of those interactions. So friends, would you consider joining me this year for an intentional and purposeful journey of embodying our faith in our daily lives? And would you consider joining a life group or a spiritual direction group where you will be known and challenged and loved and supported this year? So please pray with me. Jesus, we desire to return to you more fully. Help us figure out what that means for us together. And help us fight a good fight against the fears and anxiety assailing us during this season, so that we can grab onto the unfailing hope only you can provide. And make us into a church without walls, full of your people and blessings, and protect us with your wall of fire, and inspire us with your presence. Amen.